Hi there, and welcome to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. Welcome here. Hey there, so welcome to another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. So before we dive into it, I wanted to quickly tell you about this episode's sponsor, Faithful Counseling. They're an amazing faith-based counseling service that can help walk with you through whatever you're going through. And as our listener, you'll get a sweet deal. You get 10% off your first month. Just head over to faithfulcounseling.com/kingdomsexualityministry to claim your discount. Now let's get into the episode.
All right, we're headed into another episode and we'll start with a review. So it's a titled Fun Practical Sex Talk Without the Dirty Stuff. 5 stars. I found this podcast about a year into our marriage and I have loved it. The topics provide good conversation for me and my husband, giving us ways to spice it up and tips for things we've found difficult. As someone who came into marriage knowing little to nothing about sex, it has been so nice to have a safe place to learn about sex from a godly perspective without worrying about what inappropriate things you might stumble upon. TNSW10. Oh, thanks. Nice. Mm-hmm. So glad it's been helpful for you. Mm-hmm. And the verse today, love is patient, love is kind. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. All right. Now, before we dig in, we thought we'd maybe start getting to know each other a little bit more on the podcast, or I should say get you guys to know us more because we're pretty chummy now. Yeah. So we thought we'd start off with different questions to begin with. So being a musician myself, I'm a piano teacher. That's like what my main job is. I thought I would ask what you guys are listening to right now. So what is the last thing that you were listening to on your phone?
Let me check.
And I'm assuming it's going to be a podcast, but if you have a...
Okay, I was just listening to, and I mentioned this, we were chatting earlier, but it's a song called All Sons and Daughters, and it's called Called Me Higher.
Okay.
It was really, really good.
So a good worship soaking
song. Yeah. It was just one of those songs where I heard it and I was like, oh my goodness, this is so good. And you just like want to listen to it again and again and again and just like sing it all the time.
So, okay, so now where were you listening to that? Like, what were you doing?
I was sitting on my front steps listening to it.
Just by yourself? Like the kids weren't there?
Theo came out and sat beside me for a little bit. But then we went inside because it was time to get him into bed.
All right. Kyle.
Okay. Well, in our house, music is always going all the time. And we will just say the Amazon person's name so that she doesn't listen to me when I say this.
Hey, Alexa.
Yeah, play music. And because we listen to, in our house, it's either worship music or country music, she just gives us a good blend of the two throughout the day.
Nice.
So I usually don't really, like, I know most of the songs, but I probably couldn't tell you the title. But okay. The last that I intentionally put on is... For King and Country's, what are we waiting for?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Waiting for their new album because tomorrow night is the concert and I'm going. I'm stoked.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Well, when you're listening to this, it'll have been passed, but I'm going to the concert because they were supposed to come here in 2020, but we all know what happened and that got canceled. So this is the reschedule and... Yeah, so this is
so
their
exciting.
And so I've been listening to that album and the kids love it too, so whenever we put music on, that's what we're listening to right now.
Is it Christian? I don't even, is it just country music? I don't actually know.
It's not country. They're Christian.
Oh, okay.
But they're not worship. Like it's not songs you'd sing on a Sunday morning. It's Christian.
You should listen to it. They're really, really good.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Like very unique sound. Yeah.
Okay, Tira, what are you about you, though? I want to hear what you're listening to yet, though.
Well, lately, the one that seems to be on repeat, because I drive my kids to school, And so we have a ride and I usually let them choose what to listen to. And my oldest daughter is really into drumming. She just loves, thinks that she's going to be a drummer. And so I wanted to inspire her.
You're listening to Blink 182, right? Travis Barker?
No. So I thought, okay, I want to show you some good girl drummers. And so I really like the band Skillet. And nice. They have an amazing girl drummer. And so she has her own band called Ledger. And so we were listening to, we listened to that in particular song called Warrior, which she sings with the main singer from Skillet as well. Anyway, so that one's like on repeat on my phone at the moment. So
cute.
Yeah.
What's it called? Ledger? I got to download it right now. Ledger, listen to it when we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. And the song, yeah, the song is called Warrior. It's good. Yeah.
That was a fun question. I like that.
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear what people like, what they like to listen to. And I just love, I pretty much love all types of music, just not 80s rock. I just, that's one genre I'm like,
But what about death metal?
Almost. Yeah. I can.
You actually like it?
Yeah, I actually really like hard.
And I don't even know what they're saying.
No,
for me, they have to have a lot of musicality in the back. Like, if it's just plain old screamo, no. But if they have good, if they have good actual sound behind their voice, I can appreciate it. So,
cool. Fair enough.
Yeah. All anyway. Right.
Okay, all right. Into this.
Today we're talking about keeping score. And I don't know where I heard this quote or if I thought it up, but maybe I probably didn't. I'm not going to give myself credit. But the quote was, when you start keeping score, you both lose. Ooh. And I thought that is just so true and totally just covers this episode. So we asked you guys on Instagram what kinds of things, first of all, we asked, do you keep score or have you in the past found yourselves keeping score? And so far, 22% of you said yes, 34% of you said occasionally, and 38% of you are liars. I mean, said nope.
That's really low. I would have thought.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just natural tendency to do that.
Exactly.
I want to say you have to like fight against that. Like daily.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Man.
So that so then we followed that up by what kinds of things are you keeping score on? And here are some of the more common answers. So amount of affection given. Mm-hmm. Household chores was by far the number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Initiating sex or sex was number two. Anything to do with kids, so parenting, diapers, that kind of stuff. taking care of the pets, if you have pets, walking, feeding, all that kind of stuff. Spending money was a big one. I would say that's probably number three. Planning dates and speaking the other person's love language. But yeah, by far the top three were chores, sex, and money.
Wow.
Work, sex, money. Yep.
There you go.
Isn't that like the top three issues in marriage?
Probably.
Yep. Like in general?
Yeah. Yeah. So
there,
of course
we just solved it.
Score.
That's why people are keeping score. Mic drop.
Bye.
It's like, why do we do it? What are some of the reasons why this comes up? I think our tendency, like our sinful nature, we just like to win. We like to be heard and seen and noticed. And, you know, of course there's some healthiness to that, you know, to be wanted and or like to be noticed and stuff, but there's a point at which it goes more extreme and more selfish and, and then it just becomes more extreme. And I think a lot of people, you know, internalize the score. Of course, you're not going to, well, I shouldn't say, of course, you're not going to say anything because you do. But, you know, a lot of the times you'll just let it go. Like, oh, yeah, okay, this is my third time doing supper cleanup. Yep. You know, okay, this is the fourth time, you know. And then all of a sudden that fifth time,
Never.
Yeah. And then he's like, what? I didn't know. And you're like, well, how can you not know? Haven't you seen me do this? The fifth.
Or it comes out
as. Are you not reading my mind?
Yeah. Or you never do this. And it's like, you can't say that. Like, you can't say I never do this. Mm-hmm. I've done this before. Like, what do you mean I never do this? Like, I did this 2 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when all those, that pointy language comes out. Defenses go up. People start throwing grenades because they're feeling hurt and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so they put up their stone walls and then they don't want to talk because they're feeling upset.
Yeah.
Ugh, just spirals.
I remember circles. I remember I was reading a book once. It was by Judah Smith. And he's talking about love languages in this section, but it totally applies here. And he says, oftentimes people say, you don't mean what you say when you're mad. Mm. But I think when you're mad, exactly what you want to say comes out. Mm. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. When you're mad, like what you've been thinking about and what you've been internalizing finally comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're an internal processor. Like for me, that's so true because I've thought it all out in my mind forever, you know, if there is something going on. And then finally in the moment where like the last little thing goes on the stack, you're like snap and you're like, rah! And then that's,
You know what's interesting? Yeah. I find the way that I do it, like if I've been keeping score and I'm trying, you know, I'm trying not to keep score, but I know that I am, you know, my heart's not in the right spot. And then something will happen and I'll snap. And I know that it's not what the root of the issue is. And I know Ken is so good about like, okay, wait, let's take a step back. What else has been happening? Like, what else is going on? This isn't this isn't you. This isn't like, let's figure this out. So for me,
of course he'd be so good at that.
I was just gonna say, see him getting mad.
Now that we like have met him, it's like, oh, Ken. Like,
yeah, he is a top-notch communicator, which is very excellent for me. And I found that like especially like in our first year, I was on birth control and it made me go angry fast. And that was like the number one thing where I'm like, I just feel so angry at you. You know, it would be for something stupid that I know was not what the issue was, but it took a long time of like going back and like, okay, well, I remember this thing making me a little bit mad. And I remember this thing making me mad. And it was just like all the little things, but it took a lot of thought to like bring it back up. Like it wasn't just like, it wasn't a solid, like, yeah, you haven't been noticing me or you haven't, whatever it was. It was like, so it sometimes isn't what comes out right away. You have to look for it.
Yeah. So we just wanted to take another moment to chat about this episode's sponsor, Faithful Counseling. With Faithful Counseling, you can access a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help with a wide range of issues. So you simply answer a few questions on what you're looking for in therapy and boom, Faithful Counseling will handpick the perfect therapist for you. And the best part is that you can chat with your therapist whenever and however you want. So you can do it with text, chat, phone, video call, it's therapy on your terms. And if your therapist doesn't really seem like a good fit, no worries. You can switch to a new therapist hassle-free without any extra charge. So with Faithful Counseling, you'll get top-notch professionalism and the quality you'd expect from like in-office therapy, but with a personal touch. Plus, they offer more scheduling flexibility and affordability. Oh, and in case we forgot to mention, as a listener, you'll get a sweet deal too. You get 10% off your first month. So just head over to faithfulcounseling.com/kingdomsexualityministry to claim your discount. So if you're ready to embark on a journey of healing, Faithful Counseling is here to guide you in every step of the way. Now let's get back to the episode. So let's talk for a sec about why this is so damaging. And I feel like obviously we kind of know.
Did we go through the other reasons of why?
What do you mean?
We're still on the top, Blake.
Didn't we just go through We Like to Win?
No, she said all these things.
Did you say all three?
I did. I just said it like all sneakily. I didn't say like one, two, three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Where are you tonight?
I don't know. Not here, apparently.
Tune back in. Let's go.
Oh, right. Yeah, coming back.
All right. So let's talk about why this is damaging. And so we kind of already know, like having talked about this for the little bit of time we have, you can kind of see how this just kind of breathes roots of negativity, resentment, bitterness really easily and really quickly without you even realizing what it is that's going on. So, you know, you can kind of, you like you kind of said, Tier, you like the small issues become really magnified.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you easily kind of lose the really positive moments because, you know, this environment's kind of been a bit toxic in the sense where there's like, there's blame and there's negativity that's kind of creeped in, bringing in that negativity. So that's one reason why it's damaging. It shows a lack of teamship when you're, you know, keeping score rather than working together to figure out how you can resolve this issue, right? Making it, you against your spouse. Which people who are maybe naturally competitive, I don't know, I wonder if they have, if they struggle with this more than people who aren't as competitive. Like, are either of you pretty competitive people?
Yes.
No.
Is that a thing?
Yes. I'm extremely competitive and I find myself, I find myself wanting to be right a lot of the time. So that comes out.
Right.
And it's not helpful, obviously. And even if I do end up being right in the end, we still both lose because, again, it's not helpful. But yes, at least for me, my competitive nature is a huge negative for me or against me in situations like this.
Yeah, I wondered that. So I know if you are a competitive person, maybe it's time to check yourself and be like, huh, how am I doing these days with this? Or even like, better than just checking your heart would be to ask your spouse.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they would probably have a better idea than you do. Another reason why it can be unhealthy is it creates an unhealthy power dynamic. Kind of like you just mentioned, Kyle, like someone kind of having the upper hand or trying to, you know, maintain control, especially when it comes to like keeping track of shortcomings or, you know, you didn't contribute this. And that imbalance can erode trust and create like this healthy dynamic of, you know, I'm more superior or you're in, like, why didn't you do this? Or, right? It kind of, I don't know, makes people feel crummy. To put it like plainly, like obviously you pointing out that your husband didn't take out the trash again, you know, this is the fourth time you didn't take out the trash, which, yeah, maybe that's true, but what, how, like, just keeping score isn't going to fix that. Like, I feel like that's when there needs to be, which we can talk about that in a little bit, but okay. And then lastly, there's a deterioration of intimacy and connection. So this kind of can show how this can breed into your intimate life and into your sex life where it's like creating this barrier that's preventing vulnerability and connection and can cause emotional distance. Like we said, like, right, if you have those conversations and you're stonewalling and you're, you know, not talking because you're upset and you're feeling hurt, obviously you need that deep emotional connection for fulfilling sex life, for your marriage to thrive. So this is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who wants to have sex with someone who's like all up in their grill about what they're not doing?
Yep.
Right? It's going to create conflict, which is not a good foundation for having sex on.
No. No. That's not a comfy spot to have sex. Yeah. Okay. So what do we do instead? Let's talk about that.
Okay. My favorite thing to keep in mind, and this goes through most of marriage, is to serve sacrificially and selflessly. And the funniest part about this piece of advice is it's so easy to hear that and say, yeah, my spouse needs to do that.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, man.
Right? And it's like, no. You need to serve sacrificially and you need to serve selflessly without complaint.
And without
keeping score.
Without keeping score, but without, like, no matter what your spouse does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's not like, well, I'm gonna love this thing because, you know, he's doing all the right things, or you know, like, no, it's you, You
need to like love keeps no records of wrongs. Like that was literally the Bible verse, right? Like,
yeah,
love is not selfish. Love does not, you know, keep records of wrongs. So this is, you know, the base of it all. Yeah. Is kind of that's not what you okay. But what so then? What does that look like? So let's say the wife, there's a lot of things on her plate, and you know, she's noticed, you know, these are kind of things that they've already set as expectations, but it's not happening. So does she, like, what's the role here? Like, I'm trying to make it really practical, right?
I don't think it means that you can't ever talk about it, but one, yeah, it's going to depend how you bring it up. Like, what kind of attitude do you come to the conversation with? Mm-hmm. And two, like, are you... Yeah, I guess that's the big one is like, what kind of attitude are you bringing towards God? Are you accusatory? Like, are you bringing accusations right away? Or are you coming to it graciously and humbly saying, hey, you know, it's your job to take out the trash. And I've noticed the last few times you've forgotten. Is there something I can do to help you with that? Or what's going on?
Right.
And then have a conversation about it, but approach it as, how can I help? Or how can I, like, I'm your teammate in this, right? I want to be there to support you, not... Mm-hmm. Why are you failing at this all the time?
Mm-hmm. I think an easy way to like start thinking of how you're going to word it is to use I statements instead of you statements. You statements mm-hmm. come across as more the accusatory. Well, you're not doing this. And,
yeah,
you know,
you never, feeling, you always. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of like, man, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. You know, the garbage is overflowing here and I'm having a hard time with that on my plate or I guess that wouldn't be good because then it's assuming that you're doing it. But, you know, thinking of it in ways that you can bring it up, saying how you are feeling and then, yeah, the team aspect of like, is there something going on with you where you're not, you don't have the capacity to do such and such? Like, can we work this out together? Does something need to change? You know, along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And the next thing that we have for what to do instead is to keep score with positive things.
Oh, and yeah, love
this,
that.
This assumes like a good foundation where you can come at this from like a healthy competition point of view. So there has to be that foundation already where you guys are in a good place. It's not like you guys are just struggling with keeping score. And it's like, okay, let's make a healthy competition because it's going to become unhealthy very quickly.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, make it a competition on the good things, you know, who can plan more dates, who can whatever, initiate a kiss more, like make it the fun things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not only that, like we had gotten a message and there was a girl who was saying how her husband doesn't pursue her. Or she feels like he's, you know, not pursuing her with her love language. And she was like, shit, it's been so long, maybe since he had been pursuing her in this way that she likes to feel loved. And she's like, do I keep track of it and tell him, you know, this is how long it's been since you did this? Or, you know, and so it's keeping score. It's just keeping track, right? In the same kind of breath. You
keeping
know,
a record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm. And so she's like, is that the way to approach it? And she was just like genuinely asking this question. It was like a DM on Instagram, which in case you didn't realize, we look at all of those. Like, that's not some random person. That's us.
Even if it takes us a couple of weeks to get back to you. We yeah, will.
Sorry.
We will. Eventually. We will.
Yeah. Sorry. And so I was like, hey, like, that's a great question. Instead, whenever he does this thing or think of the time he has done this thing, you bring up, hey, remember that time we went on that date and you bought me flowers? That meant the world to me. I loved that so much. That like filled my tank. Do you think you could do that again this month?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're kind of bringing back that moment. You're sitting in it and you're giving a time to make it realistic and achievable. Right? Yeah. And so instead of just, you haven't been doing this and I feel like you're not pursuing me. I don't feel valued. I don't feel loved. It's like that time you did was so, so wonderful. And you're more bringing back to the positive stuff instead of focusing on the negative side of that.
Yeah.
So.
And I will say too, you need to know your spouse.
Yeah.
Because if Sam came to me and she said, hey, it's been 23 days since you last did this thing I asked you to do. I would be like, holy crap. Okay. That's a kick in the butt. I need to like get going here. Whereas someone might respond to that and be like, you're keeping track of this. How dare you? Love keeps no record of wrongs, right? They throw it right back at them. So for some people, they might actually respond well to that, but you have to know your spouse the best and know if that's going to work or not.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Another thing too, though, when it comes to chores, because I feel like that was a huge thing on the list. Mm-hmm. Something that I don't know when this happened in our marriage, but everything is we. Like, hey, can we go tidy the living room yet tonight?
Yeah.
It's been really messy. It's making me feel frazzled. Do you think we could do that yet today? Like, it's not putting the onus on, hey, you haven't helped me clean the living room in a long time. So it's been, you know, so and so long. So it just ups the teamship, right?
Yeah. Or even like the comment, I know Ken always gives me a hard time. Like if he says, oh man, like the living room is such a mess. My brain interprets that as you haven't cleaned the living room today.
Yes.
And I'll go like, man, I didn't have time. And he goes, whoa. I didn't mean you have to clean up the living room or you did something wrong. I'm stating the living room is a mess. Let's clean it up together. So taking Kyle's advice of like, let's be explicit. That helps in those situations where, definitely add the we in those kind of requests because it just comes out clear right away without any, assumptions.
The other thing I like is, I forget where I heard it. Actually, it might be that same book I talked about. Maybe that was last episode. Anyways, the quote is, the fastest way to change your spouse is to change yourself first. So if there's something you don't like about the way your spouse is doing something, you be better at that first. You take the onus on yourself first to change that about yourself because one, it'll give you an appreciation for whatever it is that thing is. Mm. Two, maybe your spouse will notice and they'll be like, oh, he's doing that a lot. He asked me to do that. I haven't been doing that. Okay, maybe I should start doing that. Mm. But taking the onus on yourself and maybe it's not even the same thing. But asking yourself, okay, what am I not doing? What can I do better? Not what can they do better to serve me? Again, it goes back to serving sacrificially, serving selflessly yourself, not you need to serve me sacrificially and selflessly. How can I be better at serving you sacrificially and selflessly?
Yeah. Yeah. Another thought I had that I wanted to say is even if you are doing this, but your spouse doesn't know, but you're telling your friends, that's also a big no-no.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you are nagging to your friends about, oh yeah, my spouse, like he has just, or she has just not been doing this. And it's been like so long since she's done this or, oh yeah, he's going out again. And I haven't had any time to myself to do that, but he's going on this hunting trip or, you know, she's going that, you know, I feel like that's almost where this probably starts in a sense. Like probably when you're having those thoughts and you're having those, it just happens, you know, naturally in those conversations, you're like someone brings it up and then all of a sudden it's like floodgates open and you're like, oh yeah. And he doesn't do this or whatever. And so just a reminder to put a guard over your lips and these aren't conversations you need to be having with your friends.
That's such a great point.
Praise publicly, correct privately.
Yeah.
But I will say too, there is a difference between complaining about your spouse and asking for help.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're with your friends and if there's a situation that you need help with, again, don't bring your spouse down in how you're saying it, but you're obviously okay to ask for help from people that you trust and people you know that your spouse knows you trust.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just wanted to plunk that in here because...
No, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. It's just a good reminder.
Too
easy.
You can even take that a step further. And if your friend is communicating it to you, maybe be that middleman that goes, hey, maybe this is something you should be talking about with your spouse. Do you need help brainstorming how to do that?
Yeah.
You know, instead of going, yeah, man, that sucks.
Your just spouse becomes, is the worst. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes it tricky. But
Totally. Yeah, well, I think that kind of wraps it up.
Yeah.
Anything else to add, guys?
I think we nailed it.
Yeah. All right, well, let me just close in prayer then. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for all those that are listening today. Lord, I just pray that if there are any issues that need to be talked about in regards to one-upping each other or there's a feeling of a lack, Lord, that you would give those individuals the wisdom and grace to communicate it well to their spouse. And Lord, that they will be reminded in today's episode that they are a team and that they can work this out and you can come and help them. And Lord, just that they'd also be reminded that they can come to you in prayer for this and you can be their help. And I just pray that there will be conflict resolution where it needs to be and that you will just help those couples to propel forward in their teamwork and their love for one another. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
One thing before we go.
Yeah.
Everyone listening right now, if you want to do us a huge favor and share this episode with one friend, because if everyone listening right now shares it with one friend, we will double in size. And we want to grow so we can reach more people and help more marriages.
Yeah.
So the best way that you can help us for the littlest amount of effort is to share it with a friend. And if it's not this episode, if there's another episode in mind that you want to share with a friend, share it with a friend. We would really, really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Love it. Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.